This is Brother Gino, and I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. I hope all is well with each and every one of you, and it's certainly a blessing to be with you today. Now, we've been doing a study for several weeks now on the book of 1 Corinthians. And last time we had begun to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Apostle Paul discusses the diversities of spiritual gifts. And we saw last time that spiritual gifts require spiritual understanding in verses 1 to 3 of 1 Corinthians 12. And then we saw spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of God in verses 4 through 7. And then we saw spiritual gifts differ according to purpose in verses 8 through 11. Now, we want to pick up and see that spiritual gifts are like the different body parts. Spiritual gifts are like the different body parts in verses 12 through 27. Now, the body of Christ can be compared to the human body in that each is one body made up of many members. We see that in verse number 12. We'll read that together. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, we all became members of the one body when we were baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Look at verse number 13 of 1 Corinthians 12. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. This happened when we were born again, not when we were baptized in water. To understand, to drink into one Spirit, we need to first look at what the words of God say in John, Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then also we need to look at John chapter 7, Gospel of John chapter 7, in verses 37 to 39. The words of God have this to say. In the last day, the day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. Now, Paul describes the relations of various parts in our natural bodies to emphasize the following. As God set the members in our natural bodies, so he sets the members in the body of Christ. Look at it, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 12. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Now both are his design. One member's gift differs from another member's gift. But that doesn't mean that one member of the body, that one is a member of the body and the other is not. Look at in verses 15 and 16. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, if all the members had identical gifts, had an identical gift, there would be many unmet necessities in the body. Listen to what it says in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where was the smelling? We wouldn't be a body, according to verse 19, we read. If they were all one member, where were the body? Yet we are a body of many members with many gifts. Listen to what it says in verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. Now, as members of our natural bodies are independent, so the members of the body of Christ are interdependent. Verse 21, we read, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Amen. Now, as I said, as the members of our natural bodies are interdependent, so the members of the body of Christ are interdependent. Even more, he says, Paul says, even more the feeble ones in verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. As we give more attention to some members of our natural bodies than the others, so the Lord has given more honor to that part of his body which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. Look at in verses 23 to 25. In those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. In our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. All members should care for each other, suffering and rejoicing together. Notice what it says in verses 26 and 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen. Now, for instance, we give a lot of attention to our hair, though it's feeble by comparison to the function of our eyes. Amen. And though our little toe is seemingly insignificant, it gets plenty of attention when we drop a hammer on it or stub it. Amen. Now let's move on. In verses 28 through the rest of the chapter, 28 to 31, what we see here being discussed is spiritual gifts are necessary for the body to function. Spiritual gifts are necessary for the body to function. Let's read those verses together. 28 to 31, verses 28 to 31 in 1 Corinthians 12. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracle? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now God set different members with different gifts in the body to perform different functions. He first set apostles in the body, then prophets, and then teachers. Then he gave these gifts, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. And then he asked if all were apostles, if all were prophets, if all were teachers, and so forth. And the obvious answer to these questions is no. Therefore, those who preach you must speak in tongues to manifest the Holy Spirit in you are wrong. Not all speak with tongues, yet all are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Amen. And we just read that in verse number 13. I'll read it again. It's very important. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, Paul concluded this chapter with the admonition to covet earnestly the best gifts. Certainly, the best gift appears to be prophecy. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1. The Word of God says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Amen. And then in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, we read this. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Amen. And again, as I said earlier, when we began this chapter, the speaking in tongues is a sign gift, which is no longer with us. It was to convince the Jews in the early church that what was being said was from God. It was God's message. And the Bible tells us that Jews require a sign. Amen. Now, yet Paul said, there is a more excellent way. And the more excellent way is charity, which Paul covered in chapter 13. And that's where we're going to go next. Now is we're going to begin 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. So let's turn there together. Now as we begin chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, what we're going to see in the first 8 verses is this. Charity is our essential responsibility. Charity is our essential responsibility. Remember, we just finished 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 31, Paul exhorts us to follow the more excellent way of charity. And then in the first 8 verses here of 1 Corinthians 13, he elaborates on charity in detail. He shows us that charity is commanded and is essential in our Christian lives. And he shows us what it accomplishes in us as well. First, we want to see that charity is commanded by the Lord. Charity is commanded by the Lord. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Word of God says, Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. See that? Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, of faith unfeigned. Amen. Now, a careful study of some cross references shows us clearly that charity is simply the second commandment. We want to look up the following passages of Scripture. Amen. We just read and we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we're told the end of the commandment is charity. So the ultimate objective of fulfillment of the law is charity. Now, in Matthew chapter 22, in verses 36 to 40, Jesus quotes the first commandment. We see, let's read those verses, Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, the words of God says, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. So we see that Jesus quotes the first commandment, and then he says, and the second is like unto it. And then he quotes Leviticus 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, verse 18. "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people." Here it is. "But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Amen. So we quote Leviticus 19, verse 18, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, he concludes, amen, by saying, "On these commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So we are commanded to love the Lord first, but we are likewise commanded to love our neighbor. Now, in Romans chapter 13, in verses 8 to 10, while we are not under the law, Paul quotes the law and applies it to our conduct. Amen. Let's turn there. The Romans 13, verses 8 to 10. The Word of God says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Amen. So, we see that Paul there quotes the second commandment. Amen. He said that if you love your neighbor as yourself, you have fulfilled the law. So, and then we look at in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 14, in Paul's epistle against being justified by the deeds of the law, he exhorts us to, by love, serve one another. Galatians chapter 5 with me, verses 13 and 14, the words of Almighty God have this to say: "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use liberty for only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So he said, all the law is fulfilled when you keep the second commandment. Now, let's turn to James chapter 2, verse 8. James chapter 2, verse 8, we read in the Word of God, if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So James calls the second commandment the royal law. He said that if you fulfill this commandment, ye do well. Now, in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, Jesus strengthened the second commandment for us in the New Testament, just like he did in the commandments against adultery and murder, by saying that ye love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 together. The Word of God says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one to another. Amen. So we see this is stronger than just loving your neighbor as thyself. That you love one another as I have loved you. This is stronger than just loving your neighbor as thyself. Now, in verses 1 to 3, we're going to see now as we look at these verses that charity is our essential responsibility. Charity is our essential responsibility. Let's look at verses 1 to 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We read this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. In this passage, Paul says, though I speak, though I have, though I bestow, and have not charity. Charity then is our responsibility. If it were simply the love component of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then it would be something all Christians have as a result of being saved and fulfilled with the Spirit. Amen? And being filled with the Spirit. But Paul, who was definitely filled with the Spirit, said that it was possible for him to do the great things that he could do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, without charity. Therefore, charity is something we do and for which we are responsible. Amen. No doubt the Spirit of God strengthens us against the weakness of the flesh in this area, but he doesn't take away our responsibility. In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 14 to 18, we read this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye are not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, ye are under the law. Amen. So, no doubt the Spirit of God straightens us against the weakness of our flesh in this area, but it doesn't take away our responsibility. Again, look closely at what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And for this reason, charity is essential to the effectiveness and profitability of our work. Amen. So we see in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity is our essential responsibility. The second thing is, in verses 4 to 8, is charity is the key to lasting relationships. Charity is the key to lasting relationships. Look in verses 4 to 8 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Word of God says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. In this passage, Paul enumerates the numerous qualities of charity so that we will know precisely what's needed to love thy neighbor as thyself. When you have charity, you'll be doing the things charity does and not doing the things that charity doesn't do. If you don't see these qualities, then you know that you have not charity. Let's look at these qualities. Charity is long-suffering and kind. When you have charity, you can put up with things from others for a long time. And you, like Jesus, will be kind even to the unthankful and the evil. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, we read this. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the words of God say, and be ye kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Amen. And then we want to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, the Word of God says, and I will very gladly spend to be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Amen. The lest I be loved. So we're going to stop right there, and we'll continue next week on our study in 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians. Until then, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.